The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello, everyone. So there was an Indian Vipassana teacher by the name of Munindraji. I met him once in Calcutta, an important teacher for many of my teachers. And he was fond of saying that if it's not simple, it's not Vipassana. If it's not simple, it's not mindfulness. And this idea that we're doing something very simple when we do this practice of mindfulness is something that I think we can never hear enough. It's so easy to hear the instructions, and there can be, from some points of view, the instructions are kind of elaborate. All these details, all different things you can do. And then you're supposed to pay attention to your breathing now, or to the body, or to the emotions, or thoughts. Am I supposed to focus close in? Am I supposed to open up and be wide? Am I supposed to do metta instead? And, you know, I probably should be doing more acceptance of the moment. And or maybe I need to focus on the hindrances. Or then there's the five faculties, and then there's the Four Noble Truths. And it goes on and on. Like, you know, it's like far from simple. But it's meant to be really simple. So awareness practice can be radically simple. And then one way of kind of getting a sense of it is to notice the times when you're aware and there's no effort to be aware. There's probably things that you're aware of now that you're probably not paying attention to, but it's certainly available to attention, and maybe you're aware of it even slightly without any effort. Some of you have your feet on the floor, the contact of the feet against the floor, or the contact of your feet against your body against a chair, or, you know, it could be all kinds of things that goes on. And certain thoughts that arise in your mind arise effortlessly. They're just there, and like you didn't pump it up. So there's a lot of things go on effortlessly. And then there's the effort to make the practice. Okay, I got to get serious now and get practice. Okay, now let's like focus on the breathing and like, okay, let's, you know, really try, and, you know, I'll just kind of bear down and not let myself leave, right? And then all this effort is being made. But the key is simplicity. The key is that part of awareness, which maybe is almost effortless at times, the times when effort is needed, but there is also a way in which we can get it attuned to how we're aware effortlessly, and then tap into that as a support for even when we make effort, and then we can make effort as lightly as possible, as easeful as possible. And this idea of simplicity is so radical that one of the hallmarks of a lot of, especially Western insight teaching, is the practice of acceptance. Just sit with kind of accepting awareness. But even that's complicated. There's a kind of, almost like a deeper kind of, or a different kind of acceptance that happens when you don't try to be accepting. You don't, that's just extra. Just be aware. The simplicity of awareness. Let it be an awareness. Let whatever you're aware of, allow it to be there, where you don't have to even allow it. Allowing is not a doing. Acceptance is not a doing. It's not like a policy, I have to figure out how to accept this. But rather to discover, where is that place of simplicity where I can let my sorrow, my fears, my strange thinking, my thoughts, where can I allow them to be as they are, but let them be in a simple presence? So it's almost like what mindfulness does is it gives room for our experience. It makes space for what's here. And I propose that this idea of giving room for whatever your experience is, to make room for, make space for it, that's radically different than how most people are actively relating to something all the time. Most people are actively wanting something or not wanting something, trying to figure it out, bearing down on their thoughts to try to solve things, fix things, have a better past, figure out a better future, try to solve a puzzle of our lives, some challenge we have. And we're kind of tight in, closed in sometimes. And so even if you'd like sit here in meditation and maybe your knees hurt, and then we lock in, oh, this is terrible, and how could I meditate? My knees hurt, and if only it didn't hurt, then I could meditate. And so we get wrapped up in this kind of the pain of the knee or the back, or maybe we have a distracted mind. And then we're preoccupied with this distracted mind. Oh, no, I shouldn't be doing it. After all, it's an embarrassment to coming to IMC and have my mind wander off. I hope no one notices, and I better fix it before anyone does notice it. And, you know, like, okay, let's get serious here. And we can't just stop the mind wandering off. So this is all ways of not making space. This is not making room. But if you make room for all this, make room for the pain to be there, make room for the mind to be distracted and be up, lost in thought, I propose that's a radically different thing to do than business as usual. That's not being distracted by distractions. That's not being reactive to reactivity. That's not getting all worked up about something. It's just kind of allowing it to be there, but letting it be there without the ways in which we get tripped up by it or caught by it or for and against it. And so to think of when we're going to be mindful of something, rather than getting narrow and say, I have to figure out what this is, what is this experience? You don't have to figure anything out, really, in the simplicity of mindfulness. You just have to be present for it and allow it to be there, almost like you allow it to be there, whatever it is, floating in space. You allow it to be there without the, you know, being tied up in it, or without being reactive to it, without getting kind of boxed in by it or defined by it or limited by it. And so how do I make space for this now? And then a wonderful expression is, this too I have to make space. And at least in meditation, that's considered a relatively safe place to make space for whatever is happening in the moment. If the building's on fire, then don't make space for that. In the world, there's a lot of fires that you run into. So when it's appropriate to kind of just be quiet and make space, I don't know. But at least in meditation, we don't have to be alarmed by anything. But if we are alarmed, then make space for feeling alarmed. What happens if I make lots of room now? How much room do I have to make for the experience of being afraid? And it just becomes a simple fear. If we're riding the fear really closely, it can be like too much. It's kind of like claustrophobic sometimes in our minds. There's a lot of pressure sometimes when there's not much space for things to move. But if lots of space, just I'll keep opening. How much do I have to open? This too. I love this as a little mindfulness mantra. This too. Oh, this too. I get to hold. This too I get to make space for. And then see what happens. And something will happen, for sure. And see what happens. And sometimes what will happen is the very thing you made space for, it shifts and changes because of the space. Or because you had the space, you start discovering a different relationship to what's happening. Some of the reactive relationships we can have towards it, some of the preferential relationships we have, what we like and don't like, they can kind of recede into the background because we realize, oh, we don't have to do this. There's another way. It's like a relief not to be riding every experience so closely and every experience is like a problem or an issue, or I have to make it better, or everything that's going on, I'm supposed to be mindful of everything and be close and tight and wise and liberated and free and kind and compassionate, and I better get busy here on this practice because there's so much to do. Nothing to do. Just like, oh, make space, make room. And in that room and in that space, know what's happening in the simplest possible way. Part of the benefit of doing this, making room for awareness, making room for the experience, is that that's a fantastic vantage point, reference point, for then noticing that you start not doing it. So, for example, you might be angry. So, okay, let's make room for the anger. Feel it in the body, feel how it is. Oh, that's nice. That feels like a relief to be kind of make room for it. I don't feel like so caught in the grip of the anger. And that's good for 2 seconds. And then, but I'm right. And then you see, oh, there's so much self-righteousness. I'm right, they're wrong. That's what happens to me. That's how I get caught by the anger. Okay, make space for being right. So this is what it's like to insist that I'm right. Then I go into my story-making mind and justification mind. Wow, look at that. Let's make space for it. Let's, okay. Nothing's a problem. Just one more thing to make space for. And then you find yourself back in the story that you're angry with. But this time, because it triggered fear. And now fear, oh, look at that. That's what gets me all worked up, is fear. Or then the next time you see, oh, I'm just living in a fantasy. I've made a fantasy about how something around the anger or something. So you start, I don't know if these examples are good ones, but the idea being, once you create some calm, some space, some openness, then you can see much more better how you lose that. And that's invaluable. Because many people live in a reactive mode, and they don't know a suffering mode, and they don't know why they're that way. Because they haven't seen the operating principle of how they got them hooked in and reactive and all that. So once you kind of make space, you start being able to see how this works more. The art of this is learning to see how you react, how you live, how you do what you do in reaction to all this. And don't feel shame or embarrassed or upset or terrible about that you're doing it. Because rather, it's like, oh, this too I'll make space for. This too has, it's always just this too. This too. Just keep opening. Keep opening. And if you open well in meditation, you're kind of safe. I mean, you're not going to yell at someone probably, be mean. You're not going to hit anybody. You're not going to make a big problem. So it's kind of safe to kind of like keep opening, generally. Sometimes if there's a lot of fear, some people will start having panics because any fear kind of triggers more. So opening to what's here this way, sometimes with fear, is really works well to make room for the fear. But sometimes it is more reactivity, more fear, kind of like we're so good at filling the space with even more fear. The more space you make, the more afraid you'll be. So you have to be, so then this idea of space maybe doesn't make sense to do. Maybe what you need then is just get close to the fear and love it. Maybe it needs someone close in and just like, it's okay, I'm here with you. Or maybe what you need is to not look at the fear. There's time sometimes not to address certain things. And maybe find something else to kind of open to and it's reassuring or something. So there are exceptions to what I'm saying. But I think that it's also very powerful, this idea of simplicity of awareness that comes with, we're not even accepting things. We're not even allowing things. If that's a doing, it's just like making space for it. Oh, this too. And then just keep doing it, whatever you see. Oh, this too. This too. Because once you start this making space for, more and more stuff gets revealed. This too. This too. Until the day comes where you really trust this too. You really start trusting what it's like to be aware that gives space to whatever's there. The simplicity of it, the calmness of it, the non-reactivity of it. Oh, this is good. This is really wise. This helps a lot to live a wise life, making this kind of space. So hopefully you'll come to that. So, thank you. So now we have 15 minutes.